Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this bi-weekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from the Hub, Boston, Massachusetts, at 11 p.m. on October the 17th, 2011. We're halfway through October now, and there's a touch of fall in the air. As I say, the temperature at air time 54 degrees, and we're going to have this type of weather for a week or so from what I can tell, but eventually it'll be dropping. So again, I want to welcome you to the show. Hope you had a good 2 weeks since we last talked, and I want to give you the call-in number. It's 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379, and if you do call in, please give me your first name and what city and state you're calling from, and if you're outside the country, what city and country you're calling from. Well, there's been a lot of protests going on and also a lot of lawsuits, and we're going to talk a little about protests and lawsuits as we get into the show. But right now I'll start off with the usual, the latest figures on the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, or as they say, the plandemic or the scamdemic, however you want to describe it. But anyway, on the global scale, the total infected is when I recorded these figures today, it's 241,431,000. That's up from 235 million 2 weeks ago. Active cases, 17,862,865. The number of deaths at 4,913,394. That's up about 100,000 since 2 weeks ago. It's about 50,000 a week. And then the recoveries at this is on the global scale, recoveries of 218,654,751. That's a huge percent of the total infected. So this pandemic shouldn't scare you too much. It's figures show that most people recover. In the USA, the total infected 45,786,552. That's up from 44,514,338, or up about 1 million, a little over 1 million. And the active is 9,671,278. The number of deaths in the U.S. is 744,511. That's up from 719 9:15 are up about 24,000 or 12,000 a week. And the recoveries, again, a huge figure at 370,763. So of the 45 million infected in the USA, 35 million have recovered. As far as the number of countries that I report every 2 weeks, there are now finally we passed the 35-country level of having a million or more infected with the virus, and now it's up to 36 countries, as Serbia has been added to the list. There are three other countries that are gradually approaching it, but I'll report on those as they pass the million infected mark. All right, well, the big news on the vax scene is that there is a lot of protesting going on the mandating of the vaccine. We had a big protest rally at the Massachusetts State House 3 weeks ago, and well, exactly 3 weeks ago, it was a Sunday, and we had a big crowd there, and they were pretty much upset with the government mandate, and they're taking action and going to the streets and looking for candidates that will get us to a sensible way to deal with this pandemic. It is serious. I'm not trying to minimize it, but sometimes the actions taken can be worse than the problem itself, the disease itself. But speaking of the protests, I want to just play a little clip of one that went on in New York City, right by the New York Times, where they were holding up signs that were saying, defund the media. This was right in front of the New York Times building. So just here's 25 seconds just to hear, get a sense of what they were protesting. Be able to hear that. It was mostly saying defund the media. We've had to defund the police, but I think I would definitely tend to support the defund the media more than the police. The media, especially the mainstream media like the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, these organizations have not served us well, and you can see the people are leaving them in droves, and there is alternative media. People are building better mousetraps, and the citizens are beating a path to their door because they're not happy with what they're seeing and discovering about our mainstream media. And of course, if it's become a tool, as Mark Levin says, of propaganda to promote the Marxist agenda, which is certainly seems to be the case. But we'll keep you abreast of that. Find out what you do, your own due diligence. Listen to both sides and make your decisions. I think more and more people are starting to be turned off by the mainstream media, and new sources are coming on board. There is some legal cases going on the vax mandates also. The Liberty Counsel has got lots of cases with, they're a non-profit law firm, and they are getting case after case of people that are reaching out to them to help them when they get faced with these mandates by the government and by corporations that have over 100 employees. They are mandated by the government, federal government, to take the vaccine, or they are losing their jobs. So this is a letter I got from Matt Staver at the Liberty Council. The headline is, "We are facing a national crisis." He says, "We are receiving tens of thousands of calls, emails, and other messages from people begging for help to refuse mandatory shots. Most of our new clients are trying to keep their jobs, education, or careers in the military. Pleas for help are coming in by the hundreds every day of the week. Students, soldiers, flight attendants, healthcare workers, and then in caps, Americans. They don't know where to turn or what to do. One healthcare worker said, I'm a contract therapist at a hospital with a mandate. The hospital said they didn't have a process in place for religious exemptions. While I'm aware the hospital is stacking the deck against those requesting an exemption, I at least want to try. What should I do? I can't get answers." And then he says, "No one is safe from the overreaching mandates. Active duty service members who have given their lives to protect and defend our country are now being purged from the military." Ryan explains, "I have been in the Navy for over 20 years. I have an approved retirement date of 31 August 2022. I do not want the COVID vaccine. An instruction just came out saying that I have 90 days to get the vaccine or I will be charged with Article 92. I would like to retire ASAP, but if I don't take the vax, I will not receive an honorable discharge and I won't receive my pension or VA benefits. Please advise." He says, and it says Article 92 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice involves disobeying a lawful order, failure to obey lawful general orders, or dereliction of duty. Yet shot mandates violate federal law and are themselves unlawful. And you might want to read about what it says in the Nuremberg Code about this type of thing. But Liberty Council is doing a terrific job, and they have one Liberty Council chief litigation counsel of the organization. He lived in the Soviet bloc nation under communist rule in Romania, I believe it was. And he was recently interviewed by Steve Bannon in the War Room. He said, "This movie has played before. I grew up in a communist country where we were told as young children that because of our religious beliefs, we were not on the government's approved list. We were not going to be able to go to the certain universities or have certain jobs. We were slated for factory and menial work because that is what communists had decided for us. Harry's family, the attorney's family, fled communist Romania to come to the land of the free. Now Harry is witnessing history repeating itself before his very eyes. There is a concerned effort right now to purge people of faith from the military, from the government, from healthcare, because they will not go along with a government-mandated vaccine that has its genesis in abortion, because they have conscientious or religious objections to the mandatory vaccine. They are deemed unworthy of participating in public life." So this is what's going on, and Liberty Council, as they say, is defending these people, and you might want to help Liberty Council. Go to their website at lc.org and send them a word of encouragement, or if you can, a donation. We also have a article here about the military, and let me pull that up for you. The Pentagon can find it here. Here we go. Pentagon is facing class action lawsuits over vaccine mandates on military federal employees and contractors. This is an article from the Epoch Times. I might want to encourage you to get in touch with the Epoch Times. It's a wonderful newspaper. And you can read about it on the internet, or you might want to subscribe. Service members from all five branches of the U.S. military, federal employees and federal civilian contractors, have joined in a class action lawsuit against the Department of Defense over its COVID-19 vaccine mandates. The 24 plaintiffs face a deadline under the federal COVID-19 vaccine mandate to receive the vaccine that violates their sincerely held religious beliefs and have been refused any religious exemption or accommodation, according to, again, Liberty Counsel, who we've just talked about, the Christian legal firm that filed the lawsuit. The lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of Florida. By the way, this article is dated October 17th. That's today. It was filed in the Middle District of Florida. Lists plaintiff President Joe Biden, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, and Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas as defendants. The plaintiffs are asking the court to issue a temporary restraining order to prevent the COVID-19 vaccine mandate from taking effect and ultimately issue an injunction to prevent the Pentagon from enforcing the Biden administration's vaccine mandates. Biden on September 9th issued an executive order requiring almost all federal employees to get a COVID vaccine as a condition of employment. Regular testing isn't an option. Civilian federal employees and contractors have until November 22nd to be fully vaccinated. So you might want to find that on the Epoch Times' website, read the entire article. But these lawsuits, as I say, are going to continue, and people are not going to accept this mandating. I saw one construction worker who used some strong language indicating when his employer threatened him that he would be fired, him and his co-workers, he told that supervisor in no uncertain terms that he was not, and they were not going to take the vaccine, and they could fire them, and they were going to walk off the job. And as it turned out, the supervisor told him that he changed his mind and that he was not required. So I don't know where that is at the present time, but apparently the taking a strong stand on the issue by the workers and by the people, and that worker, by the way, advised all Americans to stand together and fight these policies that are completely outrageous and possibly unconstitutional, and maybe the United States Supreme Court has to step in and do what is right and follow the Constitution. The other big thing, of course, is the protests going on in Loudoun County Public Schools and the Loudoun County Public School District in Loudoun County, Pennsylvania, has been a big story in the news, and it has to do with a father named Scott Smith, who protested strongly at Loudoun County Public School meeting. The meeting was held in Pennsylvania some time ago, and it was very well attended. and it was very much in the, it was, the whole story about it went viral, and I'm going to read a little bit to you now. This is from LifeSite News. Father claimed the Virginia school board is covering his daughter's rape by a skirt-wearing boy and girl's bathroom. The superintendent denied that any attacks by a gender-confused boy occurred at the public high school. A Virginia father was arrested at Loudoun County Public Schools board meeting in June for protesting transgender policy proposals. Says the school system was covering up sexual abuse of his teenage daughter in the school bathroom by a boy wearing a skirt. On June 22nd at LCPS, the Loudoun County Public School Board meeting, hundreds of parents protested the proposed introduction of critical race theory, or CRT, being taught in classrooms, as well as the implementation of additional measures such as special bathrooms for transgender students. However, after parents continued to argue against the proposals, the LCPS superintendent, Scott Ziegler, said students at the school had never suffered any kind of attack involving a transgender student in a bathroom. To my knowledge, we don't have any record of assaults occurring in our restrooms, he said. Scott Smith, the father, then attempted to tell the boy that his daughter, who was in the ninth grade at Stonebridge High School, had been sexually assaulted by a boy wearing a skirt with a woman in the women's bathroom. But the girl's father ended up in a heated exchange with another parent over the incident before getting the chance to speak publicly. Police officers intervened, handcuffing and escorting Smith by dragging him physically out of the building while exposing his torso. Smith was subsequently charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. In comments by the Daily Wire, Smith describes the events leading up to his arrest, beginning with him being called into Stonebridge High School 3 months earlier on May 28th after his daughter had been subject of a physical assault by a boy in a school bathroom. And it goes on to talk about it, but the case is pretty well, the story is pretty well gone through the media on the internet. And I just read recently regarding the superintendent, let's see this. The Loudoun County superintendent appears to admit that the district violated state law by not reporting the assault. This is on, again, the Epoch Times. The superintendent, and this was dated on October 17th, which is today, the superintendent appeared to admit on October 15th that the district violated state law in failing to properly report alleged sexual assaults, as a state official confirmed that the matter is under review. Loudoun County Public School Superintendent, again, Scott Ziegler, made the admission during a brief appearance before reporters when he read a prepared statement and took no questions. He said the district made, and then in quotes, errors in our state reporting regarding disciplinary incidents in schools, stating that it had inadvertently omitted some information in the past. That is extremely concerning, and we are taking steps to make sure that the process is improved. I will say that I have no reason to believe at this time that any missing reports were due to intent to hide any information from the Virginia Department of Education, he said, blaming an alleged lack of oversight that was in place before he was appointed in June, even though he had served as interim superintendent since starting on January 1st. Siegel appeared to be responding to a report by the Daily Wire that the district failed to report multiple instances of alleged sexual assault, even though it's required by state law that they do so. So you see what happens when you stand up, just like I mentioned that the construction worker stood up to his supervisor when he was threatened, basically. And when parents see what's going on and they get mistreated by the public servants of Loudoun County or any other county, they have to take action and process this to its just conclusion. So kudos to the to those parents and to everyone that's fighting these abuses by our government. It's hard to believe that it's going on in our beautiful country. And by the way, it may be affecting the Virginia governor's race, where there's a big race for the incumbent governor. Former governor. Forget his name now, but he's being challenged by Young Kim, and his poll numbers are starting to be affected by the things that the Virginia citizens are finding out. I think McAuliffe is his name, and he they're running pretty close in that race. But I want to give you the poll numbers as we're getting close to the end of the show already. That the poll numbers for Biden is sinking like a rock. The approval is down to 43.9. That's down from 2 weeks ago. This is the latest of the Real Clear Politics from October 1st to the 10th, or to the 14th, I should say. And his disapproval has gone up from 49.2 to 52.1. So people are seeing, having buyer's remorse of having voted for this person that probably should be, and his movement may be heading toward an impeachment process, especially if the House is turned over in 2022. So I want to give you the financial numbers. I might go over a little bit on the normal time, but I'll cut into the on-live portion. But the Dow from 2 weeks ago is up, closed at 35,294.76. NASDAQ and the S&P are also up. NASDAQ at 14,897.34 and the S&P at 4,471.37. You might want to wonder when we have all these issues, but apparently it has not affected significantly the main averages. Gold is closed at 1767.40. That was up also from 1761 even. Silver was up also at 2330, and that was up from 2253. We have also that inflation is spiking, even though the Federal Reserve keeps talking about it being transitory. Many of us have long since become suspect of the Federal Reserve and their way of handling their responsibilities, and we need to watch this inflation. It's at a 13-year high of 5.4%. We also have the story of the ships stuck at the port of Los Angeles, and the epidemic is being blamed partly for that, but it's preventing goods from being unloaded and being shipped around the country, so that we may be facing shortages and supply chain problems. Also, I hope you realize with all these things in your mind that the tax filing deadline has passed. At least that's over. Hopefully, you've got your returns filed. That was October the 15th, this past Friday. So that's about it for the live portion of the show. The next show will be on Blog Talk Radio on Halloween, believe it or not. That might be a scary show, especially with all these issues going on. But we'll keep reporting, and you keep praying and doing your due diligence and have faith, and things will work out. So God bless you all, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night, everyone. The non-live portion is coming up. That will not be a call-in or a chat room time. Welcome back, everyone. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show, with the non-live portion. Had to weave into a little bit, or use a little bit of this time to finish up what I had intended to be in the live portion. But there is so much to cover that it's hard to get it all in, especially when I don't have a producer and I can't find sometimes the links that I want to find. And so I have to apologize for that. I'm doing my best, and hopefully some people are getting some benefit out of this. Although we haven't had anyone in the chat room for some time, and it's a late time in the evening, and it's Sunday night right before I'm heading back to work tomorrow, or today. No, it's not yet midnight, so. Right now I want to play a clip of something that we should do with all these problems, and that is we need to pray and we need to ask for God to help our country in these difficult times. And in researching what I was going to cover for the show, I found one of my favorite sites is Dr. Chaps's Pray in Jesus' Name.org website. And he has a guest on who has started a new, I don't know how new it is, but it's gaining in popularity, and it's a prayer website. The Need to Pray, it's called strikeforceofprayer.com, and I'm going to let Dr. Chaps and his guest, Michael Ortega, talk to you about it. Here we go.
Tacoma. There you go. I spent a year of my life in Seattle. I love the entire region there. Are you south or north of the airport?
South, about 20 minutes south of the airport.
Fantastic. Well, I want to welcome you to the program, and I want to applaud what I hear that you're doing. Describe StrikeForceOfPrayer.com.
It's basically to help people pray. When I originally started the Strike Force of Prayer, my heart was to get what we would call the common person, the everyday person who has been a prayer warrior in their own lives for a long time, to give them a place to voice and be a part of the structure of praying for the nation. And that's exactly what's happened. I've had some beautiful experiences in the last 4.5 years of people that have no public position of any kind of authority in the church or anything, but are just people who pray, and some of the prayers are unbelievable.
Well, the ministry of intercession is often overlooked and neglected. Everyone glorifies the pastor, of course, the youth pastor, the worship leader, but there are silent intercessors. Charles Finney, who led the Second Great Awakening, said every revival meeting he had, there was always an intercessor who laid the groundwork and brought heaven down to, multiply the effects of the revival. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. We also have prayer calls in every state. Not quite 50 states, but we do have a prayer call in every state, and that's all listed on our website. There's a map of all of the states that are covered by prayer calls, and some states have 2 or 3 prayer calls. I try to keep in touch anyway with all of the men and women who are in charge of those prayer calls. We've been doing that also for about the last 3 years, and we're always encouraging people that join the Strike Force of Prayer to join even the state calls. For instance, California, obviously something big is happening there in the state, and we have some prayer warriors that have stepped up and are really, praying in the spiritual warfare against all of the evil forces that are there to stop, a vote, that our vote is they're going to be covered properly, let's say. And so that's something that we're pushing right now. We have organized what we call the special ops of the first 6 states that were involved with the recount, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia. I'm trying to remember all.
I think
California, too.
Was the other one, yeah. There's such important political decisions being made, especially regarding, the Secretary of State of each one and how they count the votes and the alleged fraud and things like that. Are most of your prayer calls organized according to a topic, or is it free-for-all?
No, they're organized according to a topic. I set the tone of the email by email on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I have them out on Monday and then one on Wednesday to tell people what the prayer focus will be. But once that prayer focus has started, I leave a certain amount of time for people to add, and usually they stay focused on whatever the topic is that's listed in my email. So I guess you could call it organized in that sense. It's not really organized, but it's a leading to help people.
Sure, and you as the leader should, have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I'm sure other people who join the call do that as well. What are some of the topics that you've had as the focus of your prayer meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Oh, God. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads me, usually it has to do with, some of the prophetic words about President Trump being put back in office. That's been a focus several times on our prayers, and we continue to pray that into the prayer topics. We've talked about the judicial – we prayed over the judicial system. We prayed about some of the senatorial races, different topics that you see on the national headlines that are important to us, and we pray over those things. As an example, the reason why I started prayer calls in every state besides the national calls is that, for instance, when Roe versus Wade, as Prophet Mark Taylor mentioned, is taken off the books, so to speak, and it'll come back to the states, and the states will have to vote on those things. And I don't know if people realize it, but there were over 30 states that had already blocked that issue. And when the Supreme Court said it has to accept it all. But anyway, that's the key issue, is that in the states we have to also be alert and prayerful, prayer warriors, against the issues that can be on the national scale are going to come into the states, and they're going to have to deal with this, just like this whole election process too.
Yes. Well, I'm in Colorado, and to our shame, we somehow legalized abortion in 1967, before Roe v. Wade, and we need a prayer call. I'm sure you have one here in Colorado where people can pray to overturn the results of the abortion genocide. Let's take a short break. When we come back, Michael Ortega will talk about his co-founder for StrikeForceOfPrayer.com.
All right, well, that's the first segment, 7 minutes, 7.5 minutes of... good conversation about that website. Again, I'll give it to you. It's www.strikeforceofprayer.com. And I think I might be able to play a little bit more. Well, maybe I can play the end of it here. When he signs off with the closing prayer.